Happy Easter. We're so glad you're here, and I know a lot of you are joining us from the mill. We're so glad you're here, and you're in the quad. We are packed out here, and that's awesome. We are, just in case you're wondering about all the dirt you see around us, we are in the business of expanding, so hopefully this time next year we'll have plenty of room in here for everybody at all of our services. Super excited about that, but we're glad that you're here, and I don't know about you, but for me, the best part of traveling is that moment when I get to the airport and I give my bags to the nice people at baggage check, and they take them and I'm free of them. Like, I don't feel like vacation starts till I get to that moment, right? And I'll be honest, it's also the most stressful part of the trip because I'm never entirely sure they're going to take my bags. We do not pack light as a family. And so I have had more than one experience where I put it up there on the scale and I've watched the numbers go up, 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 and then right over that limit, you know? And for my money, there is nothing more embarrassing than having the lady go, "I'm sorry, it's just too heavy." And then you have to like pull underwear and stuff out of your suitcase and put it in a briefcase, right? And sometimes, honestly, I'm worried they're not gonna take my bags because they smell bad. Let me defend myself here. I'm not saying this is a regular occurrence, okay? But it has happened. A couple years ago, we canoed the Buffalo River in Arkansas with my in-laws, and so we flew down there and we did that. And it was a week trip, and it rained the entire time. So by the time we got back to the airport to go home, everything in our bags was moist and mildewed and muddy. And to be perfectly honest, it just stank. And I knew that, and when I handed it off to the people at baggage claim, he goes, he had a little nose thing. I was like, "Yeah, I know, I'm sorry." And I couldn't believe he took it, but he did. It was awesome. And then there's just the bags themselves. I do not have pretty bags, okay? They might have started out that way, but they are no longer what you would call pristine condition. They all have duct tape on the handles. There's random wires sticking out. All of them have at least one wonky wheel, or it's missing the wheel entirely. They've got scrapes and scuffs. I have one bag that's so like torn up, it's scraped and scuffed and stained that people look at it and they make a joke. They're like, "What did you do? Did you drag that under your car for a couple blocks?" And I have to go, "Yeah, that's exactly what happened to that bag." They're not pretty. I feel like they're functional. They still do what they're supposed to do, but I always worry that when people look at them, they're gonna go, "There's no way I'm taking that thing. There's no way that all the stuff on the inside can possibly stay on the inside." So I always hand over my bags with a little significant fear that they're going to say, "There's no way, you're just going to have to handle that yourself." Which is honestly kind of what the airlines do now anyway, right? Does anybody remember a few years ago, the airlines allowed you to check pretty much everything? Like, some of you aren't even going to believe this, but not all that long ago, when you went on a trip, you got two free checked bags. It was awesome. You could take everything on vacation. And then they're like, no, it's just going to be one free checked bag. And then it was like, no, there's not going to be any free checked bags, but you can still carry on. You're like, you can still be like in charge of your own stuff, right? And there's some airlines that want to charge you for that too. They want to charge you for handling your own baggage. I avoid those airlines. And I've gotten really good at packing everything that I can into a carry-on bag. Sometimes they're so heavy, I have a hard time getting them into the overhead bin. And I'll tell you what, I do not sit under that bin. I'm on the other side of the plane just in case we've exceeded the structural capacity of that overhead bin. And honestly, that has taken a lot of the fun out of travel for me. The whole process of just kind of hauling my heavy, smelly, ugly baggage around the airport has taken a lot of the fun out of it. And if it takes the fun out of airports, that same thing really takes the joy out of life, doesn't it? Because that's life. We pick up baggage along the way, don't we? And we've kind of learned the same lesson in life that the airlines have been teaching us recently, which is your baggage is your burden. It's your problem. You're responsible for it. You just have to deal with it. And that's hard because it's heavy stuff. Some of our baggage is pretty heavy, isn't it? We're carrying around a lot of things that God never intended us to haul around. Some of it's expectations people put on us. Some of it's really unrealistic expectations we put on ourselves. We've bought into lies about what it means to be happy, what it means to be successful, and so we're trying to gather all those things that we believe, oh, this is what it must be, and it begins to weigh us down, and we've got addictions and all kinds of stuff, and it's just heavy. And it kind of stinks. We've done some pretty nasty stuff to each other. We're not good to each other. We're a world full of prejudice and racism, sexism. We're jealous. We're just mean. We're unkind. We're uncaring. We've got a whole package of stuff, and it stinks. And the Bible's pretty blunt about it. The Bible says that nobody has baggage that's downy fresh. Writing to the church at Rome, Paul wrote this. He said, "For all sinned and fall short of the glory of God." See, that's what the Bible calls all that smelly stuff. He calls it sin. And Paul says, all sinned. Nobody can go, well, you know, my baggage, it's all perfectly clean and packed. And no, we've all got messy, smelly stuff in there. And we've all done it. And the worst part is that the stench of our sin is actually the stench of death. Did you know that? It is. A little bit later in that same letter, Paul wrote this. He said, "For the wages of sin is death." Wages is an interesting word. He didn't say for the punishment of sin is death. Sometimes we have this idea that like we sin and God's like, oh, I'm going to punish you with this or that. But it's not what he says. He says the wages of sin is death. Wages is the natural thing that you get paid for the work you do. It's the right pay for particular kinds of work. So what he's really saying is that death is the natural consequence of sin. See, when we sin, we turn our backs on God. We go, I'm going to do this on my own. I'm going to walk away. The problem is that God is the author and the source of life. And when we disconnect from him, death is the inevitable result. And not just physical death, but spiritual death, eternal separation from him in darkness. It's not his punishment. It's the natural consequence of that. You know, if you unplug a refrigerator, what happens is the light begins to go out and the stuff inside begins to go bad. That's just the natural consequence. In the same way, when we unplug from God by our sin, which we've all done, our light begins to fade and the stuff in us begins to go bad and it stinks. And then, honestly, the longer we haul that heavy, smelly stuff around, the more it starts to show up on the outside, right? We get cynical, we get bitter, we get depressed, we get anxious, we get angry. It's that whole package of stuff. And so the reality is that life is basically us hauling around all the heavy, smelly, ugly stuff that we've accumulated. But what are you going to do, right? I mean, that's our baggage, and we've learned the lesson, right? Your baggage is your burden. It's not like there's anybody who's going to take it from you. It's not like there's a baggage check in life, right? Right? Well, it's Easter, and you're in church. So you might be a little ahead of me. And hopefully you are. I hope you're going, well, wait a minute. Maybe there is. I hope you're thinking that, because there is. There is someone who would love to take your baggage. There is someone who is inviting you in to baggage check. His name is Jesus. This is what Jesus said. He said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, all of you who are worn out by all this baggage that you've accumulated and that you're hauling around that nobody else can ever take from you. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. I'll take it away from you. I'll allow you to check your baggage with me." This is what Jesus offers. And he's not just talk, right? I mean, he put his money where his mouth is. He did what needed to happen. As Paul said, the wages of sin is what? It's death, which is kind of interesting because if the wages of sin is death, what that means is that death is a result of sin. But Jesus didn't have any sin. He was the unique Son of God. He lived a perfect life. He was sinless. He had no baggage of his own to pay for. So he shouldn't have died. And yet, on that night that we call Good Friday, almost 2,000 years ago, he died. He was beaten to within an inch of his life. He was mocked mercilessly. He was nailed to a cross, and he died. Why did Jesus die if he didn't have any sin? He died because of our sin. He died because of our baggage. He clasped our baggage, our sin, to himself, and he said, "I will take care of this for you. I will pay the penalty. I will pay for your death with mine. I'll pay for your burden with my blood." And so he died. They stuck a spear in his side to make sure that he was dead, that it wasn't any kind of a trick. And they put his cold, dead body into the ground and they rolled the stone up over it. Now, here's the thing. Anybody can say that they'll die for your sins. Anybody can say that they'll pay the fee for your baggage check. Anybody can say that. But how can we know that he actually did it? How can we know that he pulled it off? How can we know that the price is actually paid, that the baggage has already been paid for? Well, that's why we're here today, right? That's what Easter is. Because the reality is, he didn't just die, he also rose. And after the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, that would be our Sunday, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, they went to look at the tomb where he'd been laid. Now, there was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven, and going to the tomb, he rolled back the stone and he sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were as white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and they became like dead men. And the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He's not here. He is risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay, and then go quickly and tell his disciples, 'He has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I've told you.' And so the women hurried away from the tomb. They were afraid yet filled with joy, and they ran to tell his disciples. And suddenly Jesus met them. 'Greetings,' he said," which has always struck me as just a little bit anticlimactic. Right? He's back from the dead. He's like, "Hey." But I don't know what you say, so he goes with it. Let's just make it straightforward. "Greetings." They came to him. They ran to him. They clasped his feet, and they worshiped him. And Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." How do we know that he actually paid for our baggage? How do we know that he atoned for our sin? Because he didn't just die. He also rose. And this is not a matter of opinion. It's not a matter of faith. Faith only comes in when we decide whether or not we're going to trust in that resurrection. The resurrection itself, it's a fact of history. Okay? It's not a matter of opinion. It's a fact of history. He is risen. Yeah, there we have this thing. If you're not familiar with it, Christians for a lot of centuries have had this thing where we proclaim the reality of the resurrection by somebody says he is risen, then everybody else says he is risen indeed, because he is. And the thing we need to understand is that the crucifixion paid it all. It's why he said it is finished before he died. The crucifixion paid it all, but the resurrection proves it all. Do you understand? The resurrection is what gives us the confidence this has actually been done. The baggage check is really open. And that there's no hidden fees. It's a great thing about Jesus' offer of baggage check. There are no hidden fees. It's a gift. That's why we call it good news, because it's a gift. That same place where Paul said, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God," he went on to the other side of that coin and he said, "And all are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus." Justified freely by his grace. Justified, think of it means just as if. It means just as if we had never sinned, just as if we had never done that horrible, heavy, smelly, ugly stuff, just as if we didn't accumulate any of this baggage that we actually have. He said, "You're justified," and he says, "You're justified freely. Doesn't cost you anything. He's already paid all of the price. Justified really by his grace." Grace means an undeserved gift. It means that God loves you. Not because you've earned it, not because you've somehow worked your way into it, but because you're his, and he looks at the burden that you bear and he says, "I cannot stand that my beloved sons and daughters are struggling through life with this heavy, smelly, ugly stuff." And so by grace, he came to save us. And later on, when Paul said, "For the wages of sin is death," he gave the other side of that coin too. He said, "But the gift of God is eternal life." That's grace. It's a free gift. And what do we do with gifts? We accept them. We just accept them. Last time I checked a bag at the airport, after I pulled some underwear out and got it squared away and got my number under the thing, I expected her to take the bag away, but she didn't do that. She said, "Before I can take it, I have a couple of questions you have to answer." I was like, "Oh, here we go." She said, is this your bag?" "Well, yeah." She said, "Did you pack the contents? Is that your stuff in there?" "Oh, yeah." And I understand what she's asking, but I was thinking about it afterwards, and I realized that Jesus asks a pretty similar question when we come to him to check our baggage. I mean, he calls us to come. He says, "Come to me, all you are weary and," what? "Burdened." Burdened with their baggage. And we put it in front of him, and he goes, "I got a couple of questions." And the first question is this: is this your bag? Is this your stuff? See, we have to own it before we can disown it. We have to own it before we can be set free. But we can't say, well, there's some stuff in there that I really wish wasn't, but honestly, it was my parents' fault, and it was my kids' fault, or it was my boss, or, it was some circumstances, and Jesus just keeps looking at you until you go, yeah, that's mine. I did it. You got to own it. And then when we own it, he says, tell me how you feel about that stuff. And what he's looking for us to say is, I'm sorry for it. That's all. The Bible calls that repentance. When we turn away from God and we start on our own, this is where sin comes in. But at some moment, what we have to do is we have to go, I don't want to live this way. I'm ashamed of what I've done. And we have to turn our back on our sin. The Bible calls that repentance, and we have to look back and go, I'm sorry for this. And we don't have to move towards God. We don't have to work our way into his good graces. We just have to go, I'm sorry for this stuff. So Jesus goes, okay. Do you believe that I loved you enough to die for you in your sins? Yeah, I do. Do you believe that I rose again from the dead 3 days later? I do, yeah. He says, that's great. I just got one more question then. Will you trust me? Will you let me take your baggage? And if we can say yes, then the baggage goes away. Our sin is made white as snow. Our souls are wiped clean. We are justified just as if we'd never sinned, freely by his grace. Listen, there's two kinds of people in this room today. Some of you are here today and you've experienced the freedom and the joy that comes from checking your baggage with Jesus. And some of you have never experienced that. You're here and you're going, I'm still hauling that ugly, smelly, heavy stuff around. And if that's you, you know it's you. And I want you to understand, I want everybody to understand, it doesn't matter what group you're in, nobody's better than the other group, okay? Nobody's better than anybody else in here. But some of you are more burdened because you're still hauling that baggage. But it doesn't have to be that way. Right here, right now, you can check all that baggage. And as I went through those questions that Jesus asked, if you found yourself going, I can say yes to all of those, then there's no reason not to say yes to all of those. In fact, I'm going to ask everybody to close their eyes and bow their heads. If you're here today and you've never trusted Jesus to forgive your sin, to take your baggage and your burden away from you, but if you can say yes to those questions, would you say yes to them right now? You don't have to say it out loud. You can simply say it in your heart, but if you say it sincerely to him, he will respond. And here's what you say to him. Say, God, I have sinned. I've done wrong. God, I'm sorry. Jesus, I believe you died on the cross for me. Jesus, I believe you rose from the dead to prove that sin was defeated, that death was done. Jesus, I trust you. Come into my life, forgive my sin, make me clean. In Jesus' name, amen. Here's where the analogy breaks down. When you check your baggage at the airport, they just end up giving it back to you, right? That's not how it works with Jesus. When you trust Jesus with your baggage, what happens is it's gone for good, and in its place, he gives joy and hope and peace and eternal life in a relationship with God that begins now and it goes on forever and ever. I want to ask everybody to grab this card that you got when you came in. Some of you, just a moment ago, you prayed for the first time to check your baggage with Jesus, have him forgive your sin. And if you did that, I want to ask you to do something. I want you to tear off that little card that says, Let's Connect, and I'm going to ask you to fill in a little bit of information, and then there's a box that says, I decided to trust Jesus today. What I want to ask you to do is I want to ask you to do one of three possible things with it. It's up to you which one you want. In a little bit, after we finish singing at the end of the service, there's going to be some people down here ready to pray with anybody, and I would love for you to go find one of those people, give them that card and say, I said yes to Jesus today. They've got a gift for you. We've got a bag over here that's got some materials, including a very nice leather-bound Bible that we want to give you as our gift to you. So come find one of those prayer people and say, I said yes, and they're going to rejoice with you. Another option is you can head out to the Welcome Center, do the same thing there, give them the card, say, I said yes to Jesus. Third option, I don't think it's as good, but maybe it's one you're more comfortable with, is drop this card in the boxes by the doors on your way out, because we want to celebrate with you in this decision you've made and help you figure out how it means to live really free from your burdens. Now, here's the thing. Jesus' offer to bear our burdens is not a one-time offer. It's not a limited-time offer. Jesus is always saying to each of us, come to me. You're weary and burdened, come to me, and I'll give you rest. And even as people who have been forgiven of our sin, even as people who have been free from that baggage, we still have this tendency to accumulate baggage over time and somehow to feel like we have to carry that, forgetting that Jesus is always and only the one who can carry it. So I'm going to ask everybody to do this with that card that you have in your hand. Write down on that card something that you're burdened by right now, something you're struggling with, something that's feeling heavy. Maybe it's a sin you're struggling with. Maybe it's a circumstance in life. I don't know, but something that's making you feel heavy and weary today. I want you to write it down. And in a moment, as we continue our worship, I'm going to encourage you to do something symbolic to give that to Jesus. That is to just to come up and to get to one of these suitcases and just stick it in. We'll haul it away. You'll never see it again. Symbolically representing that this is exactly what Jesus longs to do if you will allow him to carry your burdens. So write down something. Stick it in your pocket, go home and burn it, whatever. But I think there's tremendous power in this moment of going, you know, I'm letting go of this thing right here, right now, before I walk out of these doors. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you for all that you've done for us, that you would love us enough to die for us so that we could check all of our heavy, ugly, smelly baggage with you. That's incredible. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you for the freedom that we can have in you. Lord, help us to live in that freedom that we can know with certainty is available because the grave is empty, because our Lord is risen. And it's in his name that we pray. Amen.